Very good. Thank you. I was trying to think of what I could say to you, and then I noticed that Mrs. Denninger was wearing this shirt, and we don't know how it came into our house, but this is what it says on it. Can somebody read it for me?
I didn't do it.
Oh, yes, over here. How many of you have ever said something like that? Just one of you? Just two of you? Have you ever said, I didn't do it? I didn't do it. I didn't do that. Is it good to be able to say, I didn't do it? Do you think? No? Do you have a reason why? Why wouldn't it be good to say, I didn't do it? Then would it be, yes, it would be good then, wouldn't it? Then it would be good. Do you think you would like to be able to wear a shirt like this all the time? Can you think of any time when you would wish you weren't wearing a shirt like this, or you wouldn't have to say this about yourself? Can you think of any time like that? No?
Hmm?
I'm sorry. When you did do it. Yeah, that would be one time it would be bad to say this. Very good. What if your parents asked you to do something and you didn't do it? Would it be good to, would you be happy to say this? What if there's something that you knew that would make your parents very, very happy, but it would be hard for you to do? And you had to decide whether you were going to do it or not. Would you like to make a decision that when you were done, you would have to say, I didn't do that? Something that would be hard to do, but you knew it would make your parents very, very happy, and you'd have to decide. And would you like to make the decision that could say, I decided to do it? Or would you like to have to remember, I had a chance and I didn't do it? This morning, we're going to talk about a lady who had to make a decision like that about Jesus. It would cost her very, very much to do what she would know would show her love for him. And she had to decide whether she would pay that much and whether she would do this very, very hard thing for him. And you can listen, because we'll be reading the story about her in a minute. Some of you may know that story already, and you can see whether she decided that she would do the hard thing, and she could say, I did that for Jesus, or whether she decided, this is too hard, and she would just have to go on after that day and say, I could have done that, but I didn't do it. So if you can go back with your parents now, and you listen, because it wants you to hear what that lady decided. Our text today is in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. While Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why is this perfume being wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me." She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her." The woman's action is extravagant. When the others realize what she has there in her hands, they know it must have cost her dearly. The price for pure nard, had it been sold, would represent an entire year's wage. None of them would think of making such a purchase. They may have never seen a vial of pure nard before, let alone have it in their homes. But now they look on incredulously as she persists in pouring the entire contents over Jesus' head. She doesn't even think to save some of it. They are dumbfounded. Before they have time to think about the number of days' wages that it represents and what they could do with that money, it's all gone. What a thing for the woman to do. What is she thinking? What is she trying to prove? It isn't right, and they can think of reasons why. They make no attempt to conceal their indignation. They must voice their concern for the poor. Jesus responds to the woman and to the moment. He understands what is taking place, and he receives her. His words reveal how much he values what she has done. She has done a beautiful thing for me, a precious thing to me, he said. In doing what she's done, she has said, "You are worthy." She has made the kind of response that must be made to the realization of who he is. Jesus receives her worship because it is fitting and it is right. It belongs to him. What this woman did that day in the home of Simon is like the responses of Israel on particular occasions when they were gathered to worship Yahweh. One such instance is at the dedication of Solomon's temple. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing so many sheep and oxen that they could not be counted or numbered. And all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen with cymbals, harps, and lyres, were standing east of the altar. And with them, 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. The trumpeters and singers lifted up their voices, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. Then the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 6 and 12 through 14. Then, after Solomon's dedicatory prayer, King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 5. She has done what she could, Jesus said. Everything that was in this woman's ability to do to honor Jesus, she had done. She saw and did what was appropriate. And not one bit of her devotion for Jesus was lost or went unnoticed by him. He saw her heart. He received her and her love for him. It was time now for him to be given this regard. The poor you always have with you, he said, but you do not always have me. The days that require this priority and this kind of a focus have arrived. It is the time for great things and momentous matters. Jesus' comments reveal his appreciation for the people at the table with him, for his friends, and the deep regard he has for them and for that relationship. 3 years they've been together, but those will be over in a matter of hours and days. It is time to say goodbye. It is important to him. What Jesus says next is something that almost certainly had never occurred to the woman previously. She has done what she realized that it was important for her to do, but her act of devotion amounted to much more than she probably ever guessed. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial, Jesus declared. It is what Jesus has been saying up for a while now, especially to his disciples. He is going to die. His death is so imminent and non-negotiable that he receives this anointing as an action that is performed for the dead. It is the Father's provision to him through this woman. He has just received evidence that he will complete his course. He has been given the reception given one who has died. It is a sign to him. I'm thinking of this as a runner who completes his course and wins, receives a trophy. Jesus receives a trophy early, the reception of one who has died. He will be successful. The good pleasure of Yahweh will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see and be satisfied. Isaiah 53. The woman's costly act of devotion, her simple obedience, provides the anointing that sets Jesus apart for the work of dying. With every sentence Jesus speaks, the spilled nard purchases more significance. What he says next registers the preciousness of the woman's devotion as a testimony to her, a testimony that will extend through the entire world until the end of time. Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, says Jesus, what this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. What this woman understood must be the conclusion for everyone who receives the good news. Jesus is worthy to receive nothing less than everything we can give and do. So how often did this woman anoint Jesus' head in this way? Almost certainly only this one time. How did she know it was time for this? It's unlikely that she understood what Jesus had been saying about dying. Even more unlikely that she had resigned herself to that fact. None of the disciples had. But everyone is sensing that this Passover in Jerusalem will be decisive and that some crisis lies ahead. The rulers have already sent out word that anyone knowing the whereabouts of Jesus should inform them. Obviously, the woman had made up her mind sometime previously that she wanted to do this. We do not know whether she had some wealth at her disposal, but to save a year's wages in the 2 or 3 years of Jesus' ministry would not be possible for most people. Once she manages to purchase the nard, it's just a matter of deciding on the time and place. She anticipates, like everyone else, that many things may be different for Jesus soon. She senses that she has to do it this week when he's in Bethany. She's aware where he will be a guest and when he will be a guest at Simon's home, and she prepares accordingly. She didn't need a revelation or a special gift of discernment. All this woman needed was to want to worship Jesus in this way, to want to do it, and then to watch for her opportunity. She has done what she could, said Jesus. So had others gathered there around the table. The disciples had given up everything to be with him. They did this because this was what they were called to do and enabled to recognize and respond to Jesus' worth. For them, it meant leaving everything. To be with Jesus in the way they were with Jesus was not asked of any others or granted to any others. Jesus' itinerary made that impossible. These were the 12 he chose to be with him. Mark 3, verses 13 and 14. The woman could not do what they could do. She could not follow him every day, but she could love him every day. She could offer hospitality on occasions when he was in Bethany. She could anticipate the day when the opportunity would come to anoint him. Jesus is worthy of the response each person is able to make. Nothing less is adequate. We know that other women provided for Jesus as he ministered in Galilee, providing from their means for him and for his disciples. We are told that women watched from a distance while Jesus hanged on the cross. They did what they could. The poor widow with her 2 coins finds a place in the Gospels, as well as the one who spent a year's wages to anoint Jesus. Both of them did what they could. Solomon didn't offer countless sacrifices more than once or twice in his 40-year reign. His daily worship was to govern God's people. He was given all he asked in order to be able to do this, wisdom from God. But when his love for women turned his heart away from the Lord, all his previous sacrifices only emphasized his folly and foolishness. As Samuel had said to King Saul half a century earlier, "Has Yahweh as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams." The day came for Peter when Jesus was about to ascend to the Father, and being with Jesus was no longer what he could do. "Simon, do you love me? Take care of my lambs." Then Jesus told him by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, "Follow me." Jesus is worthy of men's, women's, and children's entire lives. I'm glad you children are with us this morning, because it is too late for some of us for Jesus to have our entire lives. All he can have from us is the rest of our lives, all of them. But in your lives, he can have so much more. He will come with his love and with his loving into your hearts, and you will have real life with enduring blessings that go on, and advantages that only those who come to Jesus can have and know. He will give you a heart that is able not to be selfish. Why is it so important and valuable to love him? Because of what he has done? Yes. But because of who he is, since from before he came into the world as a man. He is so worthy that everything has been created through him and for him. Colossians 1. To live for him is the important reason why every baby is born. He is so worthy that to know him is eternal life. His life and way of living is the only one that makes passing moments important moments with lasting value. In him is life. John 1, verse 4. The vial contained pure nard. Jesus contains the life man needs. He is so worthy, so vitally essential, so absolutely valuable that he poured himself out. The people in Simon's home, looking on as the woman poured the contents of the vial on Jesus, had already been wrestling for some time with what they saw as a much more distressing waste, the idea that Jesus must die. How deeply his life had already touched them and moved their hearts. But they could not see yet that they must not keep this exquisite, priceless life they had come to love so much as their own precious possession. Jesus must be broken and his life poured out. The goodness of his life must be released and poured out on them and on everyone who longs for authentic life. Nothing less can make our hearts willing. He pours out on us a life that loves God, his life, and now we can love. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 5, verse 5. We are able to love. We are able to value. We are able to act. What love is able to do, we are able to do. This is how the love of God was manifested in us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 9. We can want to do whatever he has prepared for us to do. It is the gift of God. We are given new life in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2. Our desire for him makes us alert to possibilities and fills our days with worth. We want to do what we can. Our lives become the containers out of which the Father pours out the exquisite, precious life of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians 2. Thanks be to God. This is verse 14. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death, to the other, an aroma from life to life. Who is adequate for these things? Paul consistently treasured living Christ's life, treasured it as a privilege, wonder, and blessing that it is. Paul knew that he had found much more than everything he ever needed or wanted. I count all things loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus my Lord. Philippians 3. That I might know him. Every day, Jesus' life is there in us, ready to be poured out. This is how we know him, by letting him out, by serving him and obeying him, letting him express himself through us, by allowing him to be all he is in us and to do all he purposes with us. I read from Paul's words a bit later, Philippians 3. Verse 12, I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. For all that Paul did, there still was something more that he could do, and therefore something more that he must do. If I do only what I must, what is that? Paul did everything he could. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. answer quickly when he calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. I could worship. I could pray. I could desire. I could ask. I could try. I could learn. I could practice. I can obey. I can love. I can live. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. She did what she could, Jesus said about the woman. And then there were the three kings. Well, maybe not three, maybe more. I read to you from Matthew 2. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the kings left for their own country by another way. How long had they traveled to spend those moments worshiping the toddler? Months? Years? When Herod learned, when they had first seen the star, he figured he would have to kill all the boys up to 2 years old to be sure he eliminated this rival king. For those few moments, the wise men prepared and traveled more than a year, prepared certainly for 2 years. And they entered in and they fell down and they worshiped him. They presented costly gifts to him. Then they traveled all that way home again. Jesus is worthy. They did what they could. Would you like to turn to Matthew 25? Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the worlds. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when? Verse 40, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. She has done a beautiful thing to me, Jesus said. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord. I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Amen.
So let's try this, the hymn that David just read. Let's try and sing that. We have it may be on our computer, or we may have to give out some hymn books. So it's called Take My Life. So let's just check if our words are on the computer. It's there. Oh, wonderful. Amen. I'm really challenged by what David shared with us, and that all of us, we have something to give. Even though we're unworthy, God's given us things to offer back to him. So let's sing this. Thank you. take.